Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and to the world around you. Today, we're going to be talking about what societies look like at each stage. And this is really interesting because a society is just a collection of individuals. And so when you have all these individuals in different stages, you end up with this sort of hive mind of what stage the society is in. And that's what we're going to be talking about, what that looks like, and how to recognize what stage an entire society is in, whether it be a town, a county, a state, a country, or an entire region of the world, or humanity at large. That's a little tougher, but we'll talk about that. Before we get started, a quick shout out to new listeners in Dallas, Texas. Hello, Texas. Hopefully going to be seeing you down there pretty soon. Thank you for this connection. We're so glad to have you on board. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, follow the link in the show notes and let me know how I can help. Let me know what you're thinking. As much as I am a teacher, I am also a student, so I would like to hear your ideas as well. Okay, so what societies look like at each stage. Societies, be it anywhere from a town or a state or a country or humanity at large, societies evolve along the same cycle of 11 stages that we individuals do, because what is a society but a collection of individuals? So how can we identify what stage a society is currently experiencing? Right? So at any level. So whether a town, a county, a state, a province, a country, the entirety of humanity, any group of individuals, even an organization, will follow a normal curve. That means if you plot the number of people that are in each stage, you will get a graph that looks like a bell curve, like the normal curve, that same one you saw in high school. It'll start down low, and then it'll go up to a peak, and then it'll come back down. It'll look like a hill or bell. And it'll have a peak somewhere in one of these stages. And it'll kind of go down very small towards the ends. And so let's suppose we had a country in stage three. So if you had a country in stage three, the peak of that bell curve, that normal curve, would be in stage three. And we would say that this particular country is in stage three because there are more people in stage three than there are in any other stage. But that doesn't mean that everyone in that country is in stage three. It just means that there are more people in stage three than there are in other stages, that the peak of the curve is at stage three. Now, in every society, you'll have some people in each stage. At least somebody. So the beauty of the normal curve is that it gives you a pretty good estimate of what percent of the population is in each stage. So if, like this example, we have a peak in stage three, we can see that you're going to have about maybe 38% of the population in stage three. And that means that 38% of the population is focused on their own needs. And then if we take stages two and four, just to the left and right of stage three, between stages two, three, and four altogether, you would account for about 86% of the population. Why? Because everything humanity does fits a bell curve. Every single thing, whether you're charting people's height, or weight, or income, anything you could want to measure about a human society follows a bell curve. I mean, anything. It's amazing. So this is the cool thing. So for a country that had more people in stage three than any other stage, It means 86% of them are going to be between stages 2 and 4. 2, 3, 4, right in there. And then you'll have these smaller portions of people in stage 1 and stage 5 and 6 and so on. And you'll still have somebody even out in stage 10 and 11. But 86% of your population is between stages 2 and 4, and 38% of your population is in stage 3. So call it a little more than a third of your population is in stage 3, and that's why we're calling this society a stage 3 society. But you still got a pretty good chunk of people. That puts about 24% of the population in stage 2 and another 24% of the population in stage 4. Right? So if you look across stages 2, 3, 4, you'd have 24%, 36%, and 24%, right? So the people in stages 2 and 4 are not so far off the number of people in stage 3. But stage 3 is dominant. So this is a very typical scenario for third world nations and for nations recovering from war or natural disaster or epidemics or whatever it may be. In these countries, there's a portion of the population that are just simply stunned by what has happened or what is currently happening. You're trapped in the experience, and the recent pandemic is a perfect example of that. There will be, 24% of the population will just be stuck in the experience of the whole thing, recounting the stories over and over and over of this experience. And this is very normal to see, right? To be stuck in the experience and unable to get past it. And then you've got another portion, 38%, that is stage 3. They're focused on their needs. They've gotten past the experience, but they're like, yeah, I got to make rent. I got to buy food. I have needs. And that's what they're focused on. And then you have another portion, 24% of the population, that's in stage 4, which means they're focused on the needs of others and helping others. And you can see that right now as you look around you. But this would be true for any country that's just gone through a major threat to their survival, whether that's a war, a natural disaster, a pandemic, whatever it is. If they are in the middle of it, or they have just gotten past it, this is what their society will look like. So again, you've got a portion of people just stuck in recounting the experience, can't get past the experience. You've got a portion of the people, a larger portion of the people, that are just focused on their own survival needs. Makes sense. And you've got another portion of the people that are focused on the needs of others and helping others. And this is where you get the beautiful good news stories. And that's a stage 3 society, right? So a stage 3 society has more people in stage 3 than anywhere else. They're just focused on their needs, on their survival needs. You've got these wings to the left and the right. You've got this slightly smaller portion stuck in the experience or focused on the needs of others. And that's how you would spot them. Now, that's going to account for 86% of the population. The remaining 14% of the population is going to be scattered between stages 1, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So you'll have this small, very small minority stuck in their ideology, religious, political, or otherwise. You've got, small minorities in live and let live or questioning everything and things like that. So it's not there aren't people in those stages, but it's such a small percentage that you don't really see the effect of those stages at this aggregate level. So let's take a different example. Let's take a look at what that means for societies in some other stages. Let's look at a country in stage 5. Now, stage 5 is... This would include most of your first world countries today prior to the epidemic. And this is where most of those first world countries will then return to when they feel like it's passed. That's that one way you're going to know that things are returning to normal after an experience of a natural disaster or a pandemic or a war, is that they snap back into the stage where they were before, in this case, stage five. So most of the first world countries were in stage five. And you'll also see stage five for several developing nations with religious governments. Makes sense. Stage five is I am my ideology. Now, in these societies, you again see three main portions of the population. So if stage five, if you have the largest number of people in stage five, that means you're going to have other significant enough portions in stages four and six. So what does that look like? So that means you've got 24% in stage four, largely focused on the needs of others. 38% in stage five, feeling offended and angry and constantly defending their ideology while berating and lessening others who have opposite ideologies. And you're going to have 24% in stage six, just live and let live, just trying to live their lives, leave me alone, let me do my thing. And then the remaining 14% of the population is scattered between stages 1, 2, 3, and then 7 through 11. They're there, but they're not a big enough percent of the population to actually see that difference at the aggregate level. So your dominant phase, your dominant stage is stage 5. And then you've got these wings with significant enough levels of population focused on others and live and let live. And this is where most of your first world Western countries were prior to the epidemic. And this is, at least at the moment of this recording, where they are returning to. Lots of political infighting. And it's not surprising. Societies in stage five, they look like a real mess. The headlines, this is where you really can tell where society is. Check the headlines. The headlines will say it's the end of the world, and everyone will feel like their society is falling apart. The majority of news articles will focus on ideology, political ideologies, or in some countries, religious ideologies. And people of one ideology bashing people of the opposing ideology. And the ensuing divisiveness that you get from that kind of activity. So when a society is in stage five, which is just to say that there are more people in stage five than any other stage, these are the headlines you see. They're largely stage five headlines. Very ideological headlines, and people getting angry and people getting offended and people dogging whoever they feel opposes them. Sound familiar? So that's what the headlines would look like. And normally you would look at that and go, oh my God, that country is falling apart. Look at the divisiveness. A people divided against itself cannot stand. What are we going to do? Well, you'll be all right. You're just stage five. So that's what you would tend to see. So just look at the headlines. And in fact, the headlines may reflect the population percentages, with some portion of headlines discussing the good deeds done by those in stage four, and also some people in great need in stage three. So you'll see some headlines about people's needs and some headlines about people doing good for others, but mostly the headlines are about political infighting, and that's stage five. You'll have every now and again a headline pop up about people questioning everything, or a few spiritual people talking about connection, right? Because there still are people in those stages, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 1 and 2 and 3, but they're not going to be the majority of the headlines. The headlines will actually kind of reflect the percentage of the population that's in each stage. Now, let's pause here for a moment and discuss why why is that that the headlines will show you the map of the society and the people and the percentage of people that are in those stages? Why is that? I mean, headlines are just written by a very, very small number of journalists, and how is it that they represent everybody else? Well, they're writing what people want to read. They're writing what people will click on, right? They're motivated by advertising dollars. They write the headlines that people will click on. People will click on the headlines that validate their own beliefs about themselves, right? So we have these beliefs about ourselves drive the stage, and those beliefs about ourselves that indicate the stage we're in are also driving us to click on the headlines. The journalists write about what people want to click on, and there you go. There's your indication of what stage people are in, because you will click on what validates your own definition of self, your own identity right now. So that's what's going on. And that's why headlines can tell you what stage a society is in. And that works all the way down to, let's say you have a little local paper in a little town that can tell you where that little town is. Or a regional paper will tell you where that region is. Or national headlines will tell you where a country is right now. And then it gets a little tougher to go out from there, but you can at least track different countries. And let's be clear here that different parts of the same country might be in different stages, right? You could have even one town who's in a completely different stage from the entire county around it, or one state who's in a very different stage than the rest of the country, right? So we're not saying that the population is homogeneous across an entire country. It would be very, be very interesting to kind of map this down to the local level and watch that evolution. Would be very cool. But it gives you an idea, and we'll talk about why we care about that in a minute. So let's see what some of these other societies would look like. Stage six. A stage six society is where you have more people in stage six than any other stage, and then you've got these sort of wings of significant enough population in stages five and seven. And although this is just one stage over, a stage six society is going to look very different. So in these societies, you've got largest number of people happy to just live and let live. And then you've got 24% in stage five, I am my ideology. And this is enough to cause a lot of lashing out online, but the headlines in these countries would not tend to lead with ideological divisiveness. It would be there. Maybe a quarter of the headlines would be ideological divisiveness, political infighting, but that's not going to be the lead. So although there would still be a decent portion of headlines focused on who said what, about which political or religious issue, the majority of headlines would become more about actual happenings, with a portion of the headlines devoted to disillusionment with the status quo. That's your stage seven. And this could also lead you to think that your society is falling apart. It's not. This is natural. It's okay. Because also in that stage seven style headlines isn't just disillusionment with the status quo, it's going to be innovation, because when you question everything, you then come up with new and different and better ideas, and some worse ideas, but mostly new and different and better. And that's what you're going to see. And that's what the headlines would look like in a stage six society. Now, stage seven is an interesting stage because the first time an individual encounters stage seven, it's all about disillusionment, the dark night of the soul. But when we encounter this stage later on in subsequent trips around the cycle, it takes on a flavor of innovation and becomes ultimately a lot of fun. So some developed nations have seen stage seven before. It looks like revolution. Political revolution, social revolution, cultural revolution, technological revolution, a major shift in structure. If the new choice of structure was a bad one, you might see another political or social or technological revolution later when they decide that the one that it set up didn't really work. Now, once a better structure is in place, subsequent trips through stage seven will look like social revolutions, such as a civil rights movement. And then it'll look like a series of cultural revolutions that might include significant innovation, technological or otherwise. So we can think of a number of countries that have seen stage seven several times. So why do they seem to be in stage five now? Well, it's a cycle, right? And that's key. Individuals and societies all traverse the cycle over and over and over. So elections and societal shifts can pull a population back around to stage five, just as war can pull them back around to stage three. So we keep going through these stages, but fear not, because every time we traverse the cycle, we do it faster and we get farther. And that's the really, really good news. That's so good news, I'm going to say it again. Every time we go through the cycle, we traverse it faster and we get farther. So what happens when we eventually get to a society where the peak is in stage eight? Quite the jump. The stage eight society is one of incredible productivity, joy, and passion. So you have about 38% of the population reveling in their purpose-driven efforts, stage eight. And then you're going to have these wings in stage nine and stage seven, right? But you've got more people doing what they were born to do and loving it than anything else. That sounds pretty good. So that means they're doing it very well. They're going to do it right. Anything you do with passion, with joy and excitement, you're going to do it well. So they're doing a good job. So they're doing a productive job. And the 24% of the population in stage seven will be largely the innovation type, rather than the disillusionment type. And that's just going to spur this purpose-driven productivity. Right? It only feeds the purpose-driven action even further. And then there are 24% of the population in stage nine. And this is an incredibly peaceful stage, marked by increased intuition and patience. What a fantastic mix. So for the economists out there, that means quality products, large-scale innovation, new markets and ideas, and people excited to make them real. In short, massive prosperity. So for the government and law enforcement out there, stage eight society is a very peaceful society. Crime still exists, always going to exist, because you're always going to have some people in stage three, stage five, and some people in the disillusionment version of stage seven. But it's at an all-time low. Altruism is at an all-time high. People are nice to each other, generally. And those few in stage three that have unmet needs are more than attended to by the large number of people in stages four and eight and higher. the stage 5 population that would drive political infighting and divisiveness is now so small that any negative effect is basically neutralized. And it only gets better from there. And so this is what societies in different stages look like. And the really wonderful news that comes out of all of this is that every time we traverse the cycle, we go faster and we get farther. So every time we traverse the cycle as a society, usually at the country level, but also kind of aggregately at the humanity level, we are heading further, 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 further. So a stage 8 society is an inevitability. But yes, it does mean we have to go through having a stage 3 society, a stage 5 society, and some of these tougher ones. And in future episodes, we're going to talk about how we've already seen some of those stages before. And so the good news is, although we must traverse them again, we will do it faster, and we will spend more time in societies in later stages. So cool stuff coming. Check out the article about this to see all of the graphs that go with it. Send in your questions, your thoughts, your ideas. Tell me which countries you think are where right now. And let's see what you think. Remember, look at the headlines for the clue. Have fun with this and take heart. We are all heading in good directions. As always, I'm wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.